Remember that beautiful net of consciousness? Well, now I've got somebody in Alaska doing it with me, somebody in London doing it with me, someone in Singapore doing it. Like we're kind of bringing it all together, going into this flow space.
I feel like you're speaking directly to me right now. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Dr. Amy Robbins, and welcome to Life, Death, and the Space Between. I just recorded a wonderful interview last week. I was on this guest's podcast, Summer McStravick, who is here today with me. Her podcast is called Flow Dreaming, and she's here today to talk with me about flow dreaming, but also a bunch of other good, juicy stuff. Summer is a personal growth coach, an author, a podcaster, the creator of Flow Dreaming, which is an energy technique for manifesting, healing, and growing. And super interesting to me because I haven't really dug into manifesting on the show. So we're going to talk a bit about that today. Welcome, Summer.
Thank you, Amy. Love being here and seeing you again.
Yeah, great seeing you too. We had such a great conversation just last week. So I'm excited to turn the tables on you today. First of all, tell us a little bit about your background in spirituality, because it's really interesting. And you come through one of the most spiritual places that most people know, sort of in the Western world. So tell us about that.
It's a strange, windy road. My spiritual background. My family has been like me for generations. So I come from a kind of legacy of, you know, way back in the day, doing astrology in the middle American plains to the automatic writing of the 1940s all the way up till today, where I do my work. So, of course, the first thing I wanted to do was not be that, because who wants to be their parents? My goal was to go to a good school, get a great degree, and go into publishing and do anything but be in this realm. Well, you know how things work, right?
Yeah, this realm doesn't let you not be in it if you're meant to be in it.
Exactly. The very first publishing job I get happens to be with the only publisher in my town, which was Hay House Publishing. And people remember that as Louise Hay's publishing company. From there, again, a lot of beautiful so-called coincidences and serendipities brought me into a role where I was able to produce and create hundreds of audiobooks and webinars, brought the first really mind, body, spirit podcast to light back in 2005, as their head of new media. So I had to be right back in the swirl of things. And I joke now, it's like the universe said, I'm going to give you an MBA because you're still not doing what you need to do. So we're going to train you up, not just in how to communicate, but how to get comfortable in that communication and own that communication. And so you're going to be learning from this master and this teacher and that luminary and that thought leader. And lo and behold, after about 10 years of that, the universe said, and now you're done. Go on. Do your thing. Your flow dreaming has taken off. Move into it. So I had to really, you know, go deep and accept this is my calling in my life. And not that I'm saying I regret it. I absolutely love it. And I'm grateful. It just wasn't where I thought I was going to end up.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm really curious, being someone who has been exposed to so many spiritual thought leaders. Where do you go from there to differentiate? And this will lead us into kind of flow dreaming, but you know, what were the pieces that you feel like really you took with you that stuck with you? Like the thought leaders that you were like, they are ahead of their time. I mean, I always sort of joke that for me, Brian Weiss's Many Lives, Many Masters, I feel like is like the gateway for those of us who are therapists who are really grounded in kind of the scientific realm. Like he opened up that door for me in a lot of ways, in addition to my spiritual experiences. But for you, who were the visionaries or the thought leaders that you felt like, oh my God, this absolutely resonates so profoundly with me?
You know, I could name quite a few. By the way, worked with Brian Weiss. He's wonderful as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, I worked with Wayne Dyer for many years, co-hosting a podcast with him. I think I absorbed a lot via osmosis. Going back into the 80s, the late 80s, the first few times that Jerry and Esther Hicks started traveling around, I saw them in a hotel courtyard because they weren't even able to rent a room, which in hindsight is kind of weird. We all gathered in this hotel courtyard bar area and watched her do her thing.
So for people who don't know, tell us who they are, because she's a big channeler.
Yeah, Abraham Hicks and Jerry and Esther Hicks, it's only Esther now, but they began channeling a group they call Abraham, 20, 30, 40, a long time ago. Again, late 80s, however long ago that was. And they really influenced a lot of modern day thinking about manifesting. And, you know, you've heard the word co-creating. I think maybe they coined that. I'm not sure. We could go back a bit further to some of the other earlier teachers. But they certainly progressed an idea that had gotten started before them with people like Florence Scovelshin or even Louise Hay, who picked up her work and so on. So I think a lot of what I learned from them absorbed into me. And I look at it now like it's a very cliche, a melting pot, or, you know, everyone putting their own spice in the soup. And I end up with this strange, odd soup of me. But I think they were really intelligent. Debbie Ford, I miss her. She sort of spearheaded a lot of the work done with the shadow self, you know, in hindsight, really strong work. I there's a list. I mean, I could just go on. I think though, what happens when you start your own journey, like what do I teach or what do I have to give? A lot of us like will work with other people's modalities to a degree. And maybe your own modality will start to emerge from that, or maybe it won't. It doesn't really matter what the modality is. For me, it's more the person, the being delivering it and connecting with it. And that's the thing. All of these leaders were and are so good at what they did. A lot of them had really similar overlapping messages. The nuances changed, or the way that they kind of got into you and your mind and thinking was different between them. I think that's the key component.
That's actually so, I feel like you're speaking directly to me right now. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Whatever you're channeling is what I needed to hear. But I think that's so, and for anybody out there who's creating, and this is definitely something that I've struggled with, is what what's so different about what I'm saying? And I know people say, well, it's you and blah, blah, blah. And always sort of like, nah, nah, nah. Like, okay, fine. But yeah. For someone who you, who has been immersed in this spiritual space for so many years, has mm-hmm. literally been with some of the most progressive people on the planet in terms of how they're thinking about spirituality, for you then to go out and have your own way of what you call flow dreaming, which we'll get into, doing yeah. things is actually inspiration for me that just because you think it's been done in a certain way doesn't mean there isn't a different spin you could put on it or a different way you can look at it, because you've been in it. You've been in the soup with the best vegetables there are.
Me and the carrots yes, and I.
Yes, those farm-raised, farm-to-table carrots.
You have organic been organic all the way. Right. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think a hard thing for a lot of us, and not just people who are creating content and leading people's thinking, it's that all of us can use a little work in the realm of receiving, right? I receive the fact, and I've worked really hard at this, didn't mm-hmm. happen overnight. I receive the fact that I have a gift and gifts, and the way that I give them can reach certain people and not others. But like you just said, people tell you you're unique and you go, oh, and you kind of brush it off, right? It's such a human thing to do. Oh, but it's not me. Oh, but I can't really claim that. Oh, I can't really own that. And in doing so, it's like our very uniqueness gets, you know, we kind of hold it back or diminish it a tiny bit. I'm not pointing you out exactly.
No, that's fine. I'm always looking to grow.
Exactly the same thing.
Always looking to grow.
But like that for me was a huge obstacle and continues to be. How can I receive other people's acknowledgement of my work? Can I really take it in? Can I really say you're right? Because the fear pops up. Well, maybe I'm just, you know, boondoggling myself. Maybe I'm growing too big for my britches. How could I ever be as good as? And for me, I guess having been with the people who are at the top, you know, my as good as is really, really high. So I have to really stretch to say, well, if I don't try to be as good as, whoever will be good as, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to sort of, I call it choosing toward. Every single person that I've worked with, luminary I've worked with, at one point said to themselves, I'm going to do this and I can do this. They had to like claim it completely. Mm-hmm. They didn't just kind of float along, not really owning what they were giving. So you have to push through, and I guess it's our fear of being egotistical or whatever it may be. But once you start working with that and just kind of release and let go into it, I don't know, it gets easier. And then you're able to really share more.
Yeah. And I think also thinking like, what am I going to bring to the table that hasn't already been said?
Yeah.
You know that.
Again, it's how you say it.
Right. Right.
It's how you say it.
Right.
Because I'm a totally unique individual. There's nobody in the galaxy like me. There's a lot of people may be really similar. We talk about soul families and things like that, but mm-hmm. I am my own totally unique thing. So no matter how hard or much I think I may be spouting someone else's language, it can never be their language. It could just never be it. It's right. only going to be mine. And there will be people who light up in response to that.
So let's talk about flow dreaming, because this is great. I don't talk about manifesting on the show very often. I don't know if I've ever talked about it now that I'm thinking in almost 5 years. So I'm excited to dig into this. Partly because, one, I agree with this concept of co-creation. Like I think mm-hmm. we don't just put something out there in hopes that it will happen and not work with the universe to make it happen. But I want my listeners to understand a bit about flow dreaming and how it works. And then I'll keep asking questions from there. But if we could start there, is what is flow dreaming? What is flow?
You bet. Okay. So, kind of like you, I'm a mix of really practical and sciencey as well as spiritually, and getting these two groups to come together. Sometimes it's a gorgeous and beautiful mix, and sometimes they're fighting like cats and dogs. In my own heart, I began this journey of, like I said, I come from an intuitive family, a medium family of mediums. And my early inclination was to just run away. So when I came back in And I'm like, what am I doing? Because no matter what, I was still practicing. It's just, you know, in my blood, in my bones. If I wanted something, I would go into my space and I'd say, this is happening. We're making this. This is just, this will be in my life. And gradually, I mean, there's a whole story behind it. I learned that what I was doing was a kind of energetic programming. Today, I call it blueprinting. Like if you build a house, right, you have to have blueprints for that house. Otherwise, all the construction people are going to, God knows what they're going to build. It's going to look a crazy looking sprawling thing with 18 bathrooms and no bedrooms. And most of us go through life just building a physical house. We just bring the materials. We get the job and we get the house and we do all the physical stuff. But the planning is relegated to once a year New Year's goals or vague longings. There's no actual energetic planning. So I started with this concept that you've got a physical and you've got a non-physical. And the way science has gone, we know more and more about non-physical. It used to be all religious-y and then it was spirituality and woo-woo-y. And now it's becoming more and more a science into itself. So I began looking, what am I doing? Like when I'm doing this, what's really going on? This form of manifesting that I called flow dreaming. So my earliest work was I interviewed a bunch of physicists. So I spoke with Dean Radin and Amit Goswami, Fred Allen Wolf. Sometimes they're called holist physicists. This was, you know, what, 15, 20 years ago, at least 15 years ago now.
So again, I want to just stop you. So for people who don't know, Dean Radin is the head of the Institute for Noetic Sciences. He's still there, right? I think.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. It's been a long time since we spoke.
Mm-hmm. And Amit Goswami, I actually had him on the show a while ago. He's a quantum physicist. Is it
quantum physicist? Quantum physicist.
Physics. Mm-hmm. And then the third one, Fred Wolf, I don't know.
Yeah, he's what you'd call a holist, H-O-L-I-S-T, which they're looking at the universe in terms of the holographic universe concept, for instance.
Okay.
I mean, he's probably done a lot more since then. don't quote me on this, Fred. I'm sorry.
Was his book called The Holographic Universe? Was that his?
That was either his or someone else's. But I read that one too. It's in a bookcase around here somewhere.
I know. That's so, like me. Mine are all turned around now, so I can never find the ones that I want for aesthetic purposes. But I'm like, wait, where's that book?
Yeah. At one time, I tried to alphabetize everything because I am a Virgo, but it eventually just collapsed into just me throwing a book back on the shelf again.
Right. Then you're always moving things down and
refiling by subject and stuff, right, et cetera. Anyway, so I did a lot of research to figure out, is what I'm doing, does it have a basis in anything? Like, where is my consciousness? Is it really just trapped in my head? And once I really clicked with that concept that no, it's not just trapped in my head. Like it's not just firing the neurons between, you know, my cells. If it's really elsewhere and out there, it's got to be busy. It's got to be doing something. It's got to be connected to something. And I'm the kind of person who loves to look for patterns in everything. I like to look at natural patterns and see them over and over in multiple forms. If I think about my consciousness as the World Wide Web, you can kind of see how we humans replicate things that we are. Right now we're making AI, which again is a kind of, you know, collective consciousness. We just keep creating things that, where does that idea? Did we make that up all by ourselves with no other template in the universe? No, we're just mimicking something that we ourselves are. It's interesting though that we can create things downward from ourselves more than we can figure out what the bigger thing is that we're all interconnected with, right? I know these are some big thoughts I'm throwing out, but
no, I'm still back at, we can create things that we are.
Yes.
And this notion of how we then can create our realities around that.
Exactly. So I started working in this idea that there's the physical work and the non-physical work. The non-physical work is me saying energetically, I am going to create something. I'm going to tap in. I'm going to be in this expanded consciousness. And I do that through a technique that I call flow dreaming. So over the years, flow dreaming was a simple technique that began to sort of blossom into more like a philosophy. I always say it's like yoga. We all go and we do the stretches and it's all great at the gym, but real yoga is a whole, it's a world of thinking.
I actually just got off. The interview will probably air before ours, but I just which is why I'm in the same outfit if you're watching on YouTube, because I just got off that recording and forgot to change. An interview about exactly that, that yoga is actually not exercise. Yoga is a spiritual four-part practice. Intuitive.
What you could say right now is that you and I are in a kind of entrainment, right? What is entrainment? That's the fancy science word for it, but it's manifesting. Whenever you're entrained with something, you are now in alignment with it. And alignment is the spiritual word we use for it. Entrainment would be more like the sciencey word that we use for it.
Okay.
Same thing though, depending on which side of the garden you're sitting in, the sciencies or the spiritualies. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting right in the middle of the garden, talking to them both or trying
with to. We're in the middle of the garden together.
With you, sniffing the flowers.
Right.
So I began really focusing on how do I communicate in this space that I'm going to. So for me, moving out into the space was exploratory at first. And again, I researched, of course, you know, Dr. Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. Pardon me for butchering the name one more time, but he's sometimes called the father of positive psychology, right? He coined the flow concept.
Okay.
But he limited it to the science realm. You're in flow when your brain is, you know, entrained with whatever you're doing to such a degree that you lose track of where you are, time and space. You reach a kind of optimum potential, which is great.
Called the flow state. People are like, when are you in the flow state? How do you get to the flow state?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Totally. So what happens if we take the flow state and we say, I want to get into flow state in a more spiritual sense. I want to open into the non-physical in flow state. And it sounds harder than it actually is to do. I began researching, how do I get there? What am I doing to get there? And I realized, oddly enough, I was daydreaming into the flow state. Now, most people drop into flow completely randomly. Like it just happens to them. I like to switch things around in the world and say, okay, the world happens to me a lot, but I'm also happening to the world constantly. And we all forget that. So I want to happen to flow state. I want to instigate this. What am I doing? How am I doing it? And for me, daydreaming, as opposed to meditation, interestingly enough, but daydreaming, because my mind is very yakky and talky. And when I tell it to meditate, it just fights me like a dog on a leash all the time, just like year after year. So eventually I said, look, fine, just go on.
I surrender to you.
Exactly. And when I did that, I realized that, well, daydreaming is something back in the day they used to estimate we did it like 30% of the time of our day. I think more recent research has updated that. There's been some new stuff coming out in the last 10 years that I haven't.
It's got to be less. I would imagine we're daydreaming less because we pick up our phones the minute we have a moment to.
Oh, probably. You're right. Whereas it used to be we just drifted off. And you know how it is. Like I always joke, I'm driving home. Worst time to daydream. But it's when I go, did I stop at all the stoplights? I hope I did. Right. There's a part of our body that's checked in and aware. Part of us is completely someplace else. And I say it's like your email. You know, your email is checking in the background all the time. We make systems that check in the background invisibly. It's again, kind of mimicking something we ourselves do. What do we do when we daydream? We're checking in the background invisibly all the time, connecting into that, you could say, greater consciousness. So it made sense to me that when I began daydreaming, I would find myself in flow state. And the key is like lucid dreaming is when you're awake at night in your dream.
Right.
Think of it like lucid daydreaming. I stay aware that I'm daydreaming and I stay involved in the daydream. I'm leading it and guiding it instead of letting it sweep through me and make me lose my focus. Does it make sense?
What does that then look like? I'm trying to envision or feel like. Maybe it's not how it looks, it's how it feels. If you love the show, there are several ways you can show the love. You can go to patreon.com at Dr. Amy Robbins, just put in my name, and support the show in any monetary amount you feel comfortable. $5, $10, $20 a month makes the world of difference to me. So I would appreciate if you could support the show. If you're already supporting the show, there aren't enough ways to put into words how grateful I am for that support. It literally has made such a difference to me, and it is what keeps this show going. So thank you so much. Also, make sure you're subscribed anywhere you can get the show. You are following me on Instagram. please subscribe to my newsletter, DrAmyRobbins.com, where I do bi-monthly soul wisdoms. I'm going to be getting back to that. I took a little break, but they are coming back. And also you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Amy Robbins. That is where I'm the most active. That's the social media platform you can find me on the most frequently. And just reach out. Let me know your thoughts on a podcast. Share the podcast with friends, whomever you think would be interested in this topic. Just please pass it along. And thanks as always for your support.
Yeah. So those are the other two pillars. I say there's three pillars in flow dreaming. One is guided daydreaming to get in there. Two is awareness of flow state. And three is deep and powerful emotion. So what it feels like when I get into flow is, okay, here we're going to go a little bit into physical stuff and a little bit into, again, like big picture ideals, like the spirituality of flow state. So if we move ahead from Dr. Mihai's research, there's physical flow state. If I can do physical flow state, I can also be in non-physical flow state, right? I can be in pure, a pure state of complete lack of resistance, a pure state of ease. And if you think about, there's something they call the arrow of time, right? It's another physicist borrowed idea. The arrow of time has been shot and it's continuously going forward. It is not reversing itself. They're still trying to figure out how to go backwards in time. All natural phenomena has a trajectory that it's following. The earth going around the sun, the universe expanding, life becoming more complex as it grows. And certainly it can ebb and flow, like things can collapse, systems collapse, but then they rejuvenate and grow and tend to get more and more complex. Think about us, like our beings, ourselves. If we were little, if our souls were little collectors of information and our soul's only job was to grow and expand and learn more and discover more and reach more and more awareness of what we actually are through physical experiences, right? We are becoming more and more complex, more and more self-aware, but we're also moving down a certain path.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
In that. Okay, so like water, you know, flowing down a mountain to the sea, it may hit obstacles and boulders, but it's going to expend the least amount of energy to still get where it wants to go. It's going to go on a path of ease. It's not going to turn around, go climb up the mountain and come back down again. So this concept of flow is there's a path where you are the most aligned, you are the most entrained, you are the most on your path of expansiveness, whatever that may be. And when you're in it, there is no resistance, there is no block, there is nothing getting in your way. The world is your oyster. Now, you can do anything you want in that state. You can deal with hardship in that state, but it's easy to deal with that hardship as opposed to, you know, I always say a bird flying in the storm. It's expending a certain amount of energy. It's not getting anywhere. No, lots of input, no output. If that bird turns around and goes with the currents, it's going further and faster with the same amount of energy. So I acknowledge flow state as I want to be that bird flying with my life. What does that feel like? And that's the third pillar. I'm sorry. I know I'm going on, but I'm trying to stuff it all in one.
No. I'm trying to, when my guests talk, I'm always trying to think about, okay, how does this look in everyday life? So keep going.
Yeah. So let's say I'm daydreaming and I'm starting to feel this sense of ease. So in my daydream, I'm going to probably come up with something like a beautiful river of light. ice skating, you know, without any friction on a beautiful, endless lake, walking a path by the ocean shore that just goes on. And it's, you know, a stick in the sand that some child has dragged behind them. And I just follow it naturally. I don't have to look. I'm hiking in the forest. I'm not asking to what's next on the trail. The trail is just there. I don't even think about walking it.
So you're not in this flow daydream experience thinking about what it is you want to manifest.
Oh, I am. That's third part.
Okay.
Some people will go into flow and just get into that state of expansiveness and ease. Because think about it. Every feeling we have, you know, you're a psychologist. Every feeling we have becomes part of who we are. It adds into the bounty. If we feel negativity and lack thinking and catastrophic thinking all the time, we our bodies become more of that. Our neurons become more trained into those.
This is where I say all the time, like our emotions are, I've heard that's called energy in motion. Our emotions are energy. They carry an energy. They carry a vibration to them.
Absolutely. 100%. So, I'm sometimes stopping, you know, just with the feeling the alignment like this, because if I feel completely aligned in flow, in a state of ease in my life, and ease does not mean lazy. I always like preface it. Ease means I can work really hard, but everything is fruitful and abundant and just happens for me. I can stay there, or I can start saying, and here's what I want to create. And that goes back to the energetic blueprinting or templating idea. And this is where it kind of weaves into manifesting, right? People take action and I say, great. Did you take your pre-action? So action is us doing a physical thing. Pre-action is us doing the non-physical equivalent of the same thing. So the non-physical equivalent of the same thing for me is emotion-based. So I will be in this state now and I'll say, hey, for example, there's an area of my life. Let's say I have family drama going on. And what I'm saying is, I know I can't change the people around me, but I can create energy. I can create a circumstance of communication, acceptance, right time, right place, just knowing the right words to come out or the right connection to make. I can feel how smooth it is. I can feel this loving connection being generated between us. Sorry, when I go, sometimes I talk, I kind of close my eyes and
No. I'm like with you. I'm like, oh.
Okay.
Take me there.
So I'm feeling what I want, ideally, these relationships to feel like. I might also go into flow and say, look, I've been having struggles with money and income. Like it's such a big one. You know, all of us, it's our baseline of safety, right? So whenever I hear money, I go, okay, you need safety in your life. So let's feel security. What does feeling utterly secure, like how do you embody that feeling? Like, and you can feel it like, oh, my shoulders drop, my heart calms. And I'm like, it's a long-term sense of security, right? There's no more insecurity around this. You have all that you need. You have an overflow. You have a constant fountain of overflow. Life just gives and gives and gives and gives. It's a shoreline where the ocean is just washing up presence and you just walk along and you just scoop them all up over and over again. Life is gifting you everything. Can you feel that? So I had to use words and imagery, but because I'm talking. Otherwise, I just close my eyes and feel it. You wouldn't know what I was doing. I'm trying to evoke emotion with that. Now, right. When I'm evoking emotion, I'm communicating. I'm communicating in the highest possible way that I know with everything. So,
and what happens if someone, as you're doing that, if you're working with them or whatnot, comes upon resistance? I'm not, let's say using the example you just had.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling deserving of that.
Yeah. So that takes me into another line of work, right? If we could all just go in there and feel all these wonderful things, like I am this person, I claim this, like we were talking about earlier,
right.
I've had to practice this. I'm allowed to be seen. It's not dangerous for me to be seen. It's not dangerous for me to share my vision and wisdom and stand, you know, strong. Like I know this, something that a lot of us, especially us women feel. If you encounter resistance in flow, I look at it as, okay, what pattern or block is this? What pieces of my life came to me and they're the boulder in this flowing place? Who do I want to be in this resistance? It's a question I ask myself all the time. Who do I want to be in this? And I've had some awful things happen to me, believe me. And I've had to say, how am I going to go through this experience? Am I going to go through it in a state of ease and flow and learn from it and take from it and pull from it? Or am I going to let that wave just slap my face right down on the sand, you know, and bury me? So we go through a process of working out these limiters. Think about, in fact, limiters is a great way. Any electricians in the audience, right? Electricity flows unless there's a limiter, right? That's going to take it down a little bit. We all have that flow of electricity. We all have some limiters. So I'm going to look at that limiter and say, okay, you're keeping me at a certain level. Sometimes I call these ceilings in my work. We don't, like most of us, we can't see above the ceiling above us. So we don't even, that's what we say when we don't know what we don't know. Because we simply can't see it. We think the world is only 8 feet tall. Like if I look at my ceiling now and I had never seen the blue sky, I would never know it was there. So my job is to say, okay, I've reached the ceiling. And like think about Alice in Wonderland. She takes the potion and she grows and her head cricks over and it's very uncomfortable. Usually when we hit that resistance, that pattern, we've grown in such a space that we no longer fit. And usually the indication of that is a negative emotion or a negative incident in our life. And what it's saying is you got to go past the ceiling. You don't fit here anymore. And then we eventually are able to move through it, right? If we do the work, and then you look up and you go, wow, there's a lot more there than I ever realized. Now I can grow into that space. And that's how we move through life, kind of ever growing. People call it growing your capacity. Like it's such a coachy thing to say, right? But it means that you're able to actually see bigger spaces and then move into those spaces, accept them. So that's kind of like in a nutshell, how I handle resistance. I use it as a tutor that tells me, congratulations, you just graduated third grade, right? That's what resistance is telling me. Now what? So I take it very differently, I think, than other people do.
Yeah. So how does it differ then? It does feel in some ways like you differentiate it from meditation because you say you can't meditate. But I do think that there are qualities of it that feel very meditative to me.
Yes, there are. It feels a little bit like creative visualization, a little bit like affirmations, a little bit like you said, meditation. For me, the key difference is that I am being very active and present in this energy technique. If I can sustain a really strong and gorgeous set of emotions for 3 to 5 minutes, I have done fabulous. I mean, anybody listening, you can try it right now. Try to feel an emotion on demand. Right now, I want you to feel absolute joy. Just go into straight, pure, tear streaming, utter joy. If you haven't practiced it or been speaking the language of emotion for a while, it can feel really hard to do. Because you're reaching for something to attach it to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you said that, I had to go to an image of a time where I knew I felt joyful.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of times we're looking for something to attach it to. Well, I have to feel joyful about this thing or that thing. Or in your case, you were using a past incident as a reference point, which is actually a good thing. I like that. Do more of that. Okay. But where we get into trouble is we say, I don't have a reason to feel joy. This brings me into the world of what I call power leaks, all this language. Power leaks are where we're waiting for the outside world to give us permission to feel the way we want to feel. We're waiting for our husband to say, I will do chores around the house. You can stop being so angry. We're waiting for our boss to say, you get more money and a promotion. Now I can feel that I'm worthy and satisfied at work. When we're waiting always for the outside world to give us permission to feel the way we want to feel, we've essentially given all of our inner power to things outside of us and said, if you do this, then I can feel that. And I like to flip that scenario completely. And again, this is like a key concept of manifesting, right? Oh yeah, I am worthy. I am promotable. I am lovable. I have people who help me, and I'm stating it like affirmations again, but
right, which is straight out of Louise Hay.
Exactly. I have all of this, and I embody it, and I feel it, and I am this. Now I'm challenging life around me. If it can go in that direction, it can go the opposite too, right? Everything can go in two directions, resistance and flow, for instance, up and down, you know, light and dark. If I'm waiting for the world to give me permission to feel feelings and then I get to react to that, how about if I feel the feelings and let the world react to me? Great. Rearrange things. It has to rearrange things. It's a mirror. It's like, I see the world as like a bunch of mirrors around us. It's all mirroring here.
Well, and so that's really key. Yeah. And what I think is so important about this, and I think gets lost sometimes with people in the face of manifesting and why I've sort of shied away from it, is that it becomes about an external something that's going to make you feel a certain way versus you feeling that way, exactly like you said, and letting the universe, the energy, whatever it is, the forces that might be, respond energetically to you in that way, which will just enhance the feeling.
100%. Because we've all been down that road at some point of, if I just get this thing, I'll feel this way. We get the thing, it lasts about a day or 6 months, and then we go on to the next thing to get us to feel that way. So we just clamber through life trying to get all these things to make us feel certain ways. And then eventually we say, what am I doing? I'm exhausted and I still don't feel the way I want to feel. And that's when many of us turn to our spiritual traditions, our personal growth. And we say, this is not the way. There's got to be a different way. So I'm like, great. You learned the one way. Flip it. Now let's learn the other way. Everybody knows the action part of life. Not so many people know the pre-action part of life. I want to go back to emotion again, though, one more time, because to answer the question of how is it different than meditation, when I'm feeling deeply emotional, I recognize emotion as kind of the language of this world. If I look at my dog, I know how he's feeling. He can't speak English. If I travel someplace and I look in someone's eyes, I probably know how they're feeling. Emotion connects like instantly. Words are completely unnecessary. It's a true universal language. And some people would even extend that to, you know, when you talk to your houseplants, right? That's you're emotionally, you can talk, they don't know English or whatever language, but there's an energy, there's an emotional communication that's flowing. So when I'm going in and I'm using my emotion, to me, that's the biggest, you know, Batman beacon I can put up in the sky. This is who I truly am. All events in my life should lead me to feel these emotional endpoints. So emotional endpoints for me, and like you said, it's not give me a car, give me a boyfriend or whatever. What is a car going to make me feel? I don't care if it's a car then that comes into my life or an RV or someone's houseboat. If my feeling is I need a gorgeous, reliable sense of transport where I feel absolutely like I can always be where I need to be. I am always able to be. There's a satisfaction in that. There's a sense of competency, of security. So I'm saying I need to, I'm feeling those feelings in this area of my life. You figure out what's going to fit that best.
And so then you're not restricting it. Right? I think that's the other thing that I often worry about with people manifesting is don't restrict how you're thinking about abundance, perhaps, right? Like, I think that that's one where people are like, I need more money. Money's, it's like, well, that might show up for you in the form of a sale for something you wanted.
But
it's not cash dollars, but how it shows up can be very different.
I always think if I put out a certain emotion and I'm in my flow and I'm emoting this, right? I'm pre-acting this. I'm sketching an energy blueprint, right? That is now inside of me. It's become part of me. I'm saying to life, you have a million ways, or the universe or whatever you want to call it, right? God, you have a million ways you could probably tap into right now to make this happen for me the fastest and the easiest. There's going to be roads that are full of ease and roads that are full of hardship to get this. And I want you to pick the one that's closest, easiest, fastest, most fulfilling, gets me there. And I don't care what that may be. So that's why, again, like you said, I wouldn't just focus on money, because when you do that, you're collapsing all those potential avenues into one little skinny one. And maybe that one isn't the one that's closest or the easiest for you. And yet the person's like, I'm manifesting this every day and it hasn't happened. And I'm like, well, because you picked one that was really far away and really not in alignment with all the rest of you. So it's got to like weave through a bunch of bushes and boulders in life to get to you. Just focus on the emotional endpoints. How does money make you feel?
And what is our role? What is our personal role in co-creating that? Like, other than just this flow dreaming state, okay, yeah. you go through the process, you feel the emotion, you experience it, you are envisioning what it feels like to be that. Mm-hmm. Then what? Like, if I never leave my home.
Bingo, right. Like, so remember so I said action? Mm-hmm. Action and pre-action. Okay, most of us were on one side or the other. A lot of action-oriented people are really successful. They have beautiful material things around them, perhaps, you know, gorgeous families, all the things. They can also be really tired, really burned out, really lost as to what they're going for and wondering how long they have to keep this going. You have the pre-action types. They can imagine everything in their life. They yearn for it. They long for it. They feel it. They embody it. And they get lost in, well, did you do anything today? Do you have any money in your bank account? And they're like, no, but it will come to me. Okay, these are two total extremes. I'm being extreme about this.
Right.
But we each kind of know like where we fall on the scale between action and pre-action. My ideal is to be right in the middle. I want to do a pre-action in the middle of the garden together. I want to do some pre-action and then I want to follow it up with action. And I don't want to get myself too out of alignment from one to the other. Because as one person feels burned out, hopeless, and lost, the other one ends up feeling extremely frustrated, disillusioned, and insecure about the stuff they have in their life. And insecure meaning not secure because they don't have the things. Mm-hmm. So these two components need to come together and work in synergy. It's like walking. You don't just hop on one foot. You walk, and that's how you can really run. So that's our personal responsibility. When things start happening and coming to us that maybe we've energetically asked for, if we hold back and don't do them out of fear or, again, patterns or blocks or resistance, then we're just going to go right back to asking for them again, and that thing's just going to drift by. We've all had this happen, like opportunities that come over and over we fail to take before we finally take it. So we have to figure out what that personal balance is in us. And it's a lifelong, I mean, it's a lifelong thing to figure out.
And I think that that's the important thing in all of this. And everybody I have on the show, everything I'm talking about, this is all lifelong work. This is the growth work around being a human being, I think. So it's not like you sit down, you have this flow dream or manifest, whatever people want to call it. We're talking about flow dreaming specifically in this technique today. Yeah. And then you're done. No. The work around it, the constant kind of looking at, feeling, growing, moving towards what you want in your life is the process of being human.
Yeah, you said it. Bingo. right on the nose.
Well, we'll end there then.
Yeah, yes.
I know. I did. Maybe I'll have you back on to talk about the stuff nobody taught you, because I think there's a lot people don't teach us.
But oh, yes. That'd be wonderful. Thanks.
For today, if people want to learn more about your flow dreaming, can you let us know like what sort of offerings you have, what's available to people in addition to your book?
Sure. Yeah. I encourage like everyone to have a spiritual practice or some sort of practice for their emotional self, emotional energetic self, right? We have physical, you know, gym workouts for our body. We do Sudoku for our mind. Most of us totally ignore our emotional self unless they're going to see you, Amy, but not everybody does. Okay.
Right. And even then they sometimes try to ignore their emotional self. So I bet. There's more than one way to access your emotional self.
Right. So you can incorporate flow dreaming into your morning practice. You can do it a couple times a week. I have a website, flowdreaming.com, and that's flow with an F, flowdreaming.com. Tons of resources there. I have free flow dreams you can download. So flow dreaming is something you can do by yourself, just like meditating. You do it all on your own, or you can buy a guided meditation. So I made these guided flow dreams to kind of make it easier for people to get into these emotional states. And they're different because you will hear in my voice, I am emotional. I'm going to bring you into that feeling and that energy with me. And we do it in all, like I have like 300 of them, all different.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I've been so busy. Some are to create feelings in you, like I feel confident. Some are to create things outside you, like I really need a pivot and shift in my career, and I'm going to feel that pivot happening. So there, it runs the gamut of what you can pick from. And then I have a free tutorial there as well. I have a duplicate of my website kind of on the phone in an app, the Flow Dreaming app you can get. And I have a podcast called Flow Dreaming, still kind of woo-woo. So those are the places. And then if a person wants to step in and learn more, I've got a mastermind, and we do monthly Flow Dreaming together. I've got a beautiful group of people. We get together, like when people meditate together, it kind of makes things bigger. We get together all over the world.
Different energetic. It's a collective energetic consciousness that you're experiencing. Yeah.
Yes. Remember that beautiful net of consciousness? Well, now I've got somebody in Alaska doing it with me, somebody in London doing it with me, someone in Singapore doing it. Like we're kind of bringing it all together, going into this flow space. It's pretty cool.
Well, Summer, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on your podcast. Thank you for coming on my podcast. This was just lovely to share this space energetically with you. So thank you so much for what you've brought to this world and in so many ways, through the Hay House Radio, and through your own amazing work around really helping people live more full, meaningful, amazing, as you say, lives. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Amy. You had some beautiful directions to your questions and inquiry. I just could have gone on for hours. And
I know. I felt that too. I was like, oh my gosh, we've already been 45 minutes. Wow.
I love your thinking. So I'd love to talk with you anytime.
Okay. Thank you. We'll have to do it again about your other book.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Take care.
Like what you heard today and want to hear more? Wondering what comes next and what it all means? Head over to Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere you get your podcasts and hit subscribe. Also, if you could take a minute to rate and review my podcast, I would really appreciate it. Stay tuned as we continue to explore life, death, and the space between.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.